The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they're fun, they're funny, they're entertaining, and it makes you smile. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. That's all you got to know. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Some of us will, some of us will not. It'd be better if we did than if we didn't. Better to do it than just to hear it. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Great question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't care. For the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. That's the key. So we're asking questions about living life as a Christian. So we want you to participate. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, if you want to answer a Bible trivia that we're going to offer up, if you've got something you want to share the Lord's working on in your life, if you got a prayer request or a praise report, it's totally awesome. We want you to call in. We want you to connect. We want to be able to pray with you. That's the goal. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call that phone number, that number is the number you call, 972-445-0770. You get to talk to Terrific T. She answers the phone. And we just simply will say that that's just like having awesome sauce. That's it. That's just a straightforward awesome sauce. Put it in a bottle. Put Terrific T on it. And then underneath says awesome sauce. That's what you got. Okay. If you ever do that and you make money from it, you got to tell me. I want to cut. All right. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can also text us 214-210-8483. It's 214-210-8483. Or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. That's David at hemustincrease.org, which leads us to our website, which has many challenging things on it, some encouraging, some maybe a little bit of weepy, some a little bit of ridiculous. I think there's a kitchen sink on there. Bottom line, go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. A couple things to roll in your direction, and we're going to get into Matthew. We got some cool teaching there, some stuff you might not have heard of. We're going to actually talk either in this or in the next segment about the difference between a Nazarene and a Nazarite, and there is a difference. I do want you to be aware tomorrow we'll be covering the expository on Acts going into the next section. Here's the thing about narrative teaching. Every time you move further and deeper into a narrative teaching, the more fun it gets. So the beginning parts of most of these teachings, pretty much, and you don't have to be overly spiritual to respond to this, but there's a lot of great things in the genealogies when you go through Matthew 1. But it gets a little bit more fun when you get into Matthew 2, 3, and 4, especially when you get into Matthew 5. Well, it's like that with a lot of books. The introductions are usually pretty important to get you to a certain place, and then we get to review and have a lot of really interesting or fascinating events take place or teachings come forward. It's not that there's not teachings in the beginning, but would you rather read an entire list of genealogies, or would you rather hear about Jesus taking on Satan? Okay, all right. I'm just being honest. We'll do a couple of different things throughout the show. There is something I want to lift up before you, and that is I have a good friend. His name is Rob. Rob and Cindy. Rob has been a friend since 1991. I think that's about right. Actually, we have some very good history together, and he's been like a best friend. You know how you have maybe a set of five or six people throughout your life that have been solid there for years and years and years? He's one of those. And him and his wife and his family are going to be moving to Iowa out of California, and he texted me yesterday, and they're going through a tremendous amount of spiritual warfare. And you think, well, how much warfare can you go through? I mean, he's selling from California. He's going to Iowa. They're preparing to get a place to rent in Iowa, and just before they got everything secured, their entire financial situation, their computer, got hacked, and they had to freeze out all their money. They had to stop everything they were doing, and they just feel like there's opposition left and right. And so I just want to pray for them because he's a good friend. His name is Rob Laffler, and Cindy, and let me just pray for them real quickly, and maybe you can just join me in this real briefly. Father, we come before you. We lift up Rob and Cindy and Vinny and Angelina and Matt and just their family and their situation. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you would protect them, keep them safe. Lord, they believe that you've given them direction, and they're doing their best to follow, and they sense that there's a lot of discouragement or warfare coming against them, and there's a lot of opposition. And we just ask you to confirm with them in the sense of peace of mind, the direction you're leading them, and give them strength against the enemy. Jesus, you prayed specifically that Peter's faith would not completely obliterate, and he had a tough time, but he got through. We pray for them that very thing, that they would not be obliterated, they would not be destroyed through this process, but instead they would get through. You would encourage and strengthen them and get them forward to where they need to be to do your work and your bidding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. Okay, so that's you guys just kind of jumping along with me in that particular element because I need you to do that, and I appreciate you doing that. Let's ready. Anything else we need to cover? We can go straight in. I'm not sure if I'm going to break or not because there's so much material. I will indicate to T whether I'm going to break. I'm going to kind of look at it when we get there. But we're going to go into Matthew chapter 2, and here this is the part where Herod has just found out that the wise men outwitted him. Okay, so I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Remember, he wanted to come and he said, oh, I want to come and worship where the special child is too. Tell me where he is. And the Lord had told the wise men through a dream, yeah, you're not going to tell them. All right, so here's where it is in Matthew 2:16. Here's what it says. Then Herod, when he realized he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because there are no more. That prophecy, by the way, is Jeremiah 31:15. Let me point something out to you that's very important. We had talked about Ezra being a prophecy of Jeremiah's. In chapter 1, here is another fulfillment. We had a prophecy earlier in this same chapter. Now we have another prophecy fulfilled, all in the remarkable life of Jesus Christ as you see it go on. He has absolutely zero control of any of this. He's a baby, right? He's a baby. And all these things that are happening to him in his life and around his remarkable life are all fulfillments of prophecy. The one thing you need to be aware of is that not all fulfillment of prophecy is happy. It's awesome in the sense that God has declared it ahead of time, but it doesn't mean that it's always great. There's a prophetic word about a great judgment throne. That's not going to be that happy. There's a prophetic utterance about different things that will happen to Christians as the time gets closer. And as Jesus, as the return of Jesus Christ becomes more and more clear and more apparent, that's not always happy. But it is reassuring to know that God knows what's going to happen and won't let things go beyond what he's allowing. In other words, it's not going to go beyond what he says. So there is, in a sense, a great comfort that you can grasp from that. All right, we are going to do our break, our normal break, but I do want to make this one last point on Herod, and that's when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the wise men. He was freaked out. Okay, can I just, I mean, that's not theology 101, but it's the truth. He flew into a rage and ordered the death of 2 years and younger children. The why it was 2 years and younger is because that little thing you have in your house that shows the shepherds and baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the wise men isn't accurate. The wise men didn't show up to the house where Jesus was at until Jesus was about two, which is why Herod had all the children two and under executed. So, I mean, it's a cool piece. We have one too, little manger scene. We like it, but the wise men weren't there. Just as simple as can be. And in fact, when the wise men came to Mary and to Jesus, Joseph wasn't even there. It's just not there, but it's cool and it's a nice piece to have and we like that. That's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is how freaked out he got, how Herod just absolutely lost it, and how important it is for people when they get outsmarted not to have a toxic response. But we all need to walk with self-control. Now, his was in fulfillment of prophecy, and he was a murderous man, so that was kind of different. But don't be fooled here. When you get duped, don't get so outraged that you'd be willing to kill. That's a bad thing, right? Don't have that kind of loose attitude and spirit going on. Or we are going to take our short break, and then we're going to come back, and I got a lot of stuff to cover, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our first trivia question. In what book of the Bible do we find the words, "He who wins souls is wise"? He who wins souls is wise. If you think you know the answer, you can call in. Remember, it's call in or text in or email. You can call in at 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. So you can call in or you can text in. The trivia question, straightforward. Here we go. What book of the Bible do we find the words, "He who wins souls is wise"? If you ever went to Tommy Barnett's church in Phoenix, Arizona, before it became as big as it was, you would know that verse by heart, because he was a pastor that used to teach that verse over and over and over and over and over and over again. I got to tell you a story about that. So Tommy Barnett, very well-known pastor. I mean, his church right now is probably, I think there's about 18 to 20,000 people in the church. So it's a big church, right? They got the church that's like on the side of a mountain in Arizona. And great people. He's Assembly of God pastor. But anyway, Billy, Bruce, myself, and Larry, these four Jewish boys from Detroit, we used to go to some of his classes and stuff. But see, we didn't know decor. We didn't know what was right or what was wrong. So you put four Jewish boys who all know each other from Detroit, Michigan, who all got saved within 30 days of one another, and you sit them in the assembly where there's people, and what do? We're talking to one another. So, because it's like a normal – it's for Jewish people, it's a lot more normal. And so Tommy's trying to teach, and we're loud and louder than we should be. So Tommy goes, "Boys, boys, boys, can you stand up? Can you stand up?" So the four of us stood up, and he goes, "All right, everybody look." He goes, "All right, now you can sit down." He goes, That's what I need you not to do. Take attention away from this class." And he went on and he taught his class. It worked pretty good because we didn't make any other noise. So I give him credit. Yeah, but that was a good way to go about it. All right. I just thought I'd share that story, one of those classic things that take place. Again, the trivia question, straightforward. What book of the Bible says, "He that wins souls is wise"? Hint, hint, it's in the Old Testament. Ooh, gave you a little hint there. All right, I want to go on to this next. We're going to do DNA in the next segment over. I want to get into this portion right here in regards to Matthew. It's really quite important in the text. This talks about Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. It says the following: "After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, because those who intended to kill the child are dead.' So he got up and took the child and his mother and entered the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee. Then he went and settled in a town called Nazareth to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene." There's so much in this, it's incredible, but let me just go forward in this. First and foremost, there are four dreams that Joseph had and five basic dreams that took place in Matthew 1 and 2. Joseph was a good guy. He was sensitive to the Lord, but the Lord needed to instruct him in dreams, okay? There was nothing in any text that was going to help him for him to understand, because he wasn't familiar, didn't really know where things were going, so the Lord had to tell him in a dream. Not a big deal. Does God talk to people in dreams today? Sure. Even Job mentions that, and I think it's Job 31. But the same way that they talked to Joseph, probably not. I mean, that was pretty special circumstance, right? So those dreams and that was going to be real intense and real directive. But God, of course, God still speaks to people through dreams, even prophetic dreams. But we don't own it the way that Joseph owned this and the way this is in Holy Writ. But that doesn't mean God doesn't speak. So I want you to keep that in mind. Number two, the other part about this is that Herod dies and the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him news he does not know. He's get up the child, take the child's mother, go to the land of Israel because those who intended to kill the child are dead. He didn't know that. So the angel was giving him revealing information. I mean, things that were taking place. And the thing about that is that God knows what's going on all over the world all the time. He knows what's going on in Egypt and he knows what's going on in Israel. He knows what's going on in Cleveland and he knows what's going on in San Diego. He knows what's going on in Dallas and he knows what's going on in New York. God's not caught off guard. Nothing's happening that's getting by God. And so there's nothing that's taking place in your life that's getting by God. If God knows what's taking place in every city and in every land on the entire planet, he's more than capable of knowing what's going on in your individual life. And he does. And he tells you he does. That's really important to catch. Now, there's a couple things to note from a scholarly or exegetical point of view. He went and settled in a town called Nazareth, fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets. He would be called a Nazarene. There is no prophecy, individual prophecy, that says Jesus would be a Nazarene. So before you misunderstand that, the words prophets, okay, is plural, talks about and it's funny how it says it because it says to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets versus quoting a passage. And so it's that longer, broader through the prophets. It said this, he's going to be a Nazarene. He's going to be a Nazarene. The key in the Nazarene thing from Nazareth. The key in that is to understand this big difference. And this is where people blow it. And I want to make sure you understand it. Number one, Nazareth is a small town. Number two, Jesus is a small town guy. You can say he's a big city guy, you'd be wrong. Number three, Nazareth, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, is where Mary heard from Gabriel. So in a sense, they went back to Mary's place when they were in danger. It's kind of one of those interesting, like, well, they went back there, probably went there because they were kind of familiar. What Joseph was concerned about was that the son of Herod, Herod's territory was split up in four directions, and his son, Archelaus, was a nut job and killed people right and left, just like his dad's killing all these, he's killing babies. This guy's killing everybody left and right, really bad. So he wanted to get far away from him. But here's the thing I want you not to get confused about. Jesus was a Nazarene, but he was not a Nazarite. Did you hear what I said? That's so important. Jesus was a Nazarene, but he was not a Nazarite. There's a Nazarite vow in the Old Testament. The word Nazar means to be separated or consecrated unto the Lord. The first and foremost is there's four major marks in a Nazarene vow. First, it's individual enters this voluntarily. That's number one. Number two, it could be both men and or women. Doesn't matter. Anybody's allowed to participate. Number three, it has a specific time frame, a beginning and an end. So it has a marked period of time. And number four, there were three specific guidelines. You had to abstain from wine or any fermented drink. You could not cut your hair, and you could not go by a dead body. You could not go near a dead person, family or otherwise. Okay? Those were the three calls. And at the end of that, what would take place is the person would take their hair and cut it and bring it to the altar, and the priest would then bring about prayer and end the vow. But I want you to understand something about Jesus. He was not in a Nazarite vow. Ever. He was simply from Nazareth. And here's what will blow your mind. As a Nazarene person, Nazareth was a very insignificant, wee little bitty town. And the King of the universe grew up And what's the term we use for a small little itty bitty town? Just like, you know, it's just like is there terms for like small little goofy, almost like ghost towns, like, you know, real, you know, binky little towns or whatever. I mean, he grew up in a nothing town and he was the king of the planet. Just think about the humility that now he wouldn't know that as a 1-year-old, but he would know that as a 12-year-old as he was growing, as he was developing and knowing who he was. Oh, Al said Podunk. I guess that's Podunk. I don't even know what that means. I hope that's okay. It's like it's just a small, insignificant town, and it means nothing. And yet the King of Kings grew up there. So before you're worried about being over-humiliated in your life for the kingdom of God, think of the king of the planet being growing up in a place called Nazareth where it's like a nothing place. Like, don't blink. You'll go through Main Street kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's a huge, huge, huge difference between those two. So I want you just to understand what's going on, because all of this, of course, leads up to John the Baptist, and we're going to talk about that next week. But this is important to understand the difference between Jesus. That's why people say, well, Jesus, he never drank wine because he took a Nazarite vow. No, he didn't. He was a Nazarene. He never took a Nazarite vow. It's completely different. It's just a 100% different element altogether. So just know that difference and be aware of that, and be aware that Jesus grew up in a place that was like, eh, doesn't mean much. Now, there's one prophecy that could connect, by the way, to the Matthew. He was called Nazarene. That's Isaiah 11:1. There's some people that think the branch has some reference to that. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm just not smart enough to tell you that. Here's what I'm smart enough to tell you. The grace of God protected Jesus Christ using wisdom with Joseph and gave him a reprieve from danger. And when it's too much, God will give you the reprieve you need too. Don't forget that. All right. In what book of the Bible do we find the words, he that wins souls is wise? That would be Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Wow, I can't believe I got all that stuff in. And now somebody's calling, but now we have to go. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait. There's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me say something really important. I want to give a big crying send-off to my good friend for 7.5 years, Lefty. Lefty has today, oh. I know, I'm so sad. Lefty has actually left the place of honor that's been with me for the last 7.5 years doing radio. Lefty was my one-eared headset, my headset that I would listen to. Yesterday, towards the end of the show, the circuitry in the very complex $19.95 multiple years ago headset decided it could no longer endure, and we had to put it to rest today. So now I have a much more expensive but really on sale from Amazon, so got it for a smoking deal headset. But it has two ears, so one of the ears is behind my head.
And I haven't given this one a name yet. It's got like one ear, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah. But then we're going to say goodbye to Lefty. Bye, Lefty. Bye.
All right. There you go.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.